perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am indeed Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to be with you today. No matter how you're listening to us, whether it is on Breadbox Media, on Evangelism Radio, or on Patchwork Heart Radio right here. Today, my guest is Victoria Clarizio, and she is a writer with a cause. And she helps you discover how much God loves you. She has been blogging for a number of years and has also discerned religious life with the Franciscan TORs of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother, and she was privileged to be able to contribute to their newsletter and blog as well. She writes on her website, onepearl316.com, and she has quite a ministry and journey of faith. So, Victoria, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me here today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thanks, Bill.
So, Victoria, your story is just incredible. When I connected with you on Facebook, I was just kind of blown away by what your ministry was doing. And mm-hmm. One Pearl, the tagline on the blog is "Unveiling the Hidden Treasures of the Word," and it just caught my eye. It just caught. It's so relevant for what's going on today, but. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how you got to this point, because you've had an amazing journey.
Yeah, it has been quite a journey. I've just really experienced the mercy of God in my life and His love, and I want to share that with others. And it's definitely been on my heart, just that I need to share this with other people.
Sure, absolutely. So, you began as a cradle Catholic, grew up in a Catholic mm-hmm. family, but you were kind of bored with the faith for a long time. But then, early on in your adolescence, in like eighth grade, you started, having a more conscious choice to follow God. Can you just talk a little bit about that aspect of your faith journey and discovering God in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you said, I grew up Catholic, and like a lot of kids, it was kind of like a surfacey faith. My family went to church on Sundays, but I wanted more. I always wanted like an exciting, passionate life. I loved to read, and I always wanted like adventure in my life. And the way I was living my faith, it wasn't leading towards that. I didn't know the depth and the beauty of the Catholic faith. So I didn't think I could find what I was looking for in it. I had this huge grace in eighth grade. I was like, I think I was becoming more aware of the world around me, especially it was right after 9/11. I kind of looked at the world around me and I asked what a lot of people ask, how could a good God exist when all of this is happening? And I made a choice that I didn't believe in God. Initially. And I can only explain it as a grace after a short period after I did that. I just knew that God existed. I like knew it in my heart. I couldn't not believe in Him. I like felt His presence around me. So from that time on, I really made a conscious choice to follow God.
Well, and that's, and that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And as you kind of progressed through high school, you attended the Steubenville Youth Conferences, which, mm-hmm. by the way, I credit my personal faith conversion or reconversion
yes.
or awakening
yeah,
to.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Right? What is so powerful about that? What is so powerful about encountering God in a conference setting like a Steubenville?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it gave me a chance to see these thousands of young people who were on fire for God, who were living this radical faith. And I saw kind of a picture of like true Catholicism, like what it could look like to have that passionate life and that passionate faith that I was looking for, that it wasn't boring. And it really like set me on fire for God. And also that's where I like really encountered Christ in the Eucharist for the first time. And I feel like he really became real for me. Like when they do that really powerful Eucharistic procession, it just felt like God was like coming right up to me. That was kind of my first encounter with him. And so I went to those a couple of different summers, and the summer before my senior year of high school, I had this, really powerful experience where I just felt God asking me to give him everything.
Yeah. How beautiful.
And then that ended up being a call to discern religious life, which was completely terrifying at the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I as well have discerned religious life and discerned that, and it's truly a responsibility I think every Christian has, you know, every mm-hmm. Catholic has to discern, you know, mm-hmm. a religious vocation, and some people have a stronger inclination to do that and, you know, enter into a discernment house or whatever, but. What were some of the graces that came from living and being a part of a program where you're discerning religious, you know, religious life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I actually lived as a community for about 3 years.
That's
beautiful. And I can honestly say I'm a completely different person. Like I'm more the person who God created me to be because of being there. I mean, just like the formation that I received and the growth in prayer and getting closer to God is just, it's priceless.
Yeah. And does it carry over into just the way, you know, obviously it carries over into the way you relate to the world and the way you see the world and the way you see the church. I think even if, you know, it's ultimately not the end call, your end vocation, it still gives you a perspective on how the church works and you know the prayer aspects, and you're able to lead people better. Do you find yourself being able to lead people in ministry better, whether it's through writing or in person, you know, because you've had that experience?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, people know that I'm a person that they can come to for especially questions of like the spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's something that the that consecrated life does really, really well, right? Entering into a religious order really talks about, it really focuses it on the interior, and also, I mean, being with the Franciscans, the TORs, Third Order Regular Franciscans, that is beautiful because they really follow that model of Saint Francis, right? They follow the model of Saint Francis. And that active, contemplative kind of lifestyle, which is wonderful. So, So as you progress now through that, you had to make a very tough decision to leave religious life. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you felt God moving in your heart at that point?
Yeah, it definitely was a very difficult process. Like I said, I was with the community that I was with for about 3 years. So they really became my family. And as during my time there, I got to know myself better and become more aware of my interior life, I became more aware of like the desires that the Lord placed in my heart and how he was using those to call me. And so there were many factors, but he really used my lack of peace. I think that's a big sign in discernment. I really didn't have peace that God wanted me there for life. I also had some physical illness, and that made it hard for me to live the rigorous life. I just felt like he was calling me to focus on things that I was not able to in religious life. One of those things was my writing.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the, I don't want to say, because that isn't a hang up, but that's one of the things where, the vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, it is meant to make the person more free in mm-hmm. some regards, but when it comes to the creative desires of mm-hmm. the heart, sometimes it does stifle that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, God is calling you to use that particular gift of writing mm-hmm. In a very special way. And I find that such a I find that such a incredible important thing, you know, because when you find out your mission and when you're able to distill mm-hmm. your mission all the way down to, okay, this is what God's calling me to do, then you're living the happiest life you can live, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Victoria, this is awesome, and it's a great conversation. For our listeners, you are listening to the voice of Victoria Clarizio. She is a writer with a cause, as she says. Her website is onepearl316.com with the mission to unveil the hidden treasures of the Word. And she has an incredible journey of faith. And we're going to just have to take a quick break here, Victoria. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about right where you left us off with the with the desire of writing and how your ministry is taking off and you're helping people through a wonderful cause of writing. So we'll take mm-hmm. a short break here, and we'll come back right after these messages here on Patchwork Heart Radio's Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross, led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, and today I'm talking with Victoria Clarizio. She is she's a writer with a cause, but also the owner of OnePearl316.com, and it talks all about her mission to unveil the hidden treasures of the Word. And we were talking about her personal journey in the first half of this interview, but we're going to kind of switch gears and talk about what One Pearl is and what her mission is now, in life. So, Victoria, tell us a little bit about One Pearl and what your hopes, dreams, and desires are with it.
Mm-hmm. So this wasn't just inspired by my own spiritual journey and what I learned and wanting to share that with other people. I grew up with a lot of perfectionist, and I was very condemning of myself, and especially once I got into college, I kind of strayed away from the faith and I fell into some sin. And after that, I was very weighed down by my guilt. I had a really hard time accepting God's forgiveness, and I brought that in with me when I entered religious life. And it was a huge struggle to accept God's mercy and to forgive myself. And one of the ways that God healed me of that was through Scripture. And Scripture was really how I got to know who God really is and just how merciful and loving He is and how great His love was for me. And I was introduced to Ignatius's way of praying with Scripture, which is using your imagination, putting yourself in the scene and really like encountering Christ in a close personal way. And that completely changed my life. It changed my prayer life. I really got to know Christ. And since then, it's been on my heart to help teach other people how to pray that way and really just open up the Scriptures for people so they can see who God really is. So that's what I want to do through One Pearl, through my writing, and hopefully like speaking. And one thing I've started doing is creating guided meditations to introduce people to this way of imaginative praying.
Beautiful.
So I really hope to help people like see Scripture in a new way and really, especially like, familiar passages that we might just glance over and be like, oh yeah, I've heard that before, kind of see those in a new way. So that's where like unveiling the hidden treasures, like when you go deeper into Scripture and you start really seeing like things just start popping out at you, you see things in a new way.
Absolutely. It's easy as a Catholic, I think, to get stuck on the ABC cycle of readings at Mass and go, oh yeah, I've heard that one before, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why our church, and there's some amazing apps out there and some amazing things to help us go deeper into Scripture. But One Pearl comes from, the gospel about, you know, Christ telling you that you are the pearl of great price, right? The faith is the pearl of great price. And so if you can point that out to everybody to say, hey, listen, you are the pearl of great price. You know, God has redeemed you, sold everything for you, as it says on your website. That's really your mission. So you do it through, blogging, and then you also do it through, speaking as well. Just out of curiosity, what are some of your favorite Scripture passages to help listeners kind of think about? You know, what would you recommend if somebody was off, you know, discovering this for the first time, saying, hey, you know what, I really want to get deeper into Scripture. I want to get deeper into my life with God. What would you tell them to read?
The first one that comes to mind would be The Woman at the Well. Because that, I think that's the longest conversation that someone has with Jesus in the Scriptures. And again, using your imagination, like, you know, not just observing the scene, you imagine yourself as the woman at the well actually talking to Jesus. And there's so much, that passage is so rich. Like, you know, what are your husbands that are keeping you from, what are your sins that are keeping you from receiving the loving water that Jesus is offering you? Like, what are you holding on to that it's keeping you from giving yourself to him? What is he offering you? What is the living water that he's offering you? I think that, yeah, that's a really powerful scripture.
Beautiful. That's,
yeah,
totally,
and then,
beautiful.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. That's totally beautiful.
Yeah. So the one that really opened my eyes to how deep God's mercy is for us, and how we often have this distorted image of God, and like healing that and seeing who he really is the woman caught in adultery. And when I realized this about this passage, this is like, I feel like that's like the inspiration for this. This is kind of like one of those passages where everything was turned around for me. Like, I realized I was reading it in the wrong way, and it just opened my eyes. So the woman caught in adultery, we often think of Jesus as being like above us, like leaning down, you know, kind of like condemning us, or, you know, just kind of looking down on us.
Yeah.
And one day I was reading it, and I realized that it said, after the Pharisees had left, Jesus was alone with the woman standing before him, and he looked up at her. And that just, like, I was like, Jesus is on the ground, and he's looking up at the woman who's standing before her, saying, I do not condemn you.
Mm.
And that just, like, I was like, oh my gosh, his mercy is just incredible. So that's the kind of thing I want to help people see, how loving and merciful God is, like how the lengths that he goes to win our love, obviously the cross ultimately.
Yeah. And I think, you know, especially during this time of the year when it's Easter and, you know, at this time of year, I think there's a lot to be able to reflect on about God's mercy, divine mercy Sunday. There's just so many different areas of the scriptures that point to Christ's mercy, whether it's, you know, St. Paul's letters or even the book of Revelation, you know, has tons of beautiful imagery about God's mercy in it, and justice, but mercy as well. And so, you know, I think the big encouragement in talking with you is to recognize, hey, people, pick up a Bible, you know. I think that's you know a huge thing, and as you read, it's okay to use your imagination. You know, I think in today's society, you know, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm in media, I love media, obviously it's a great evangelization tool, but I think we can be stuck watching somebody else's movie after a while, you know, and we don't think about things, you know, in our own imagination, and and so I'm glad to see you're really encouraging people to do that, because I think it's because I think it's awesome. So so now what are your hopes as far as developing, I mean, the if I can say, the business side of One Pearl? What are some of the what are some of the things that you can help people with as far as you know, the business side of it is concerned?
Right. And that's something I'm just developing. Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that's really on my heart is I would like to, like, go to parishes, groups, retreats, and talk about this, like, share my, how this way of praying has helped me, and teach people about it. Yeah, because obviously I can do my writing, but I think, like, that personal interaction is where, you know, the magic happens.
I would think so too. Getting to be able to see people and just encounter them and give them a give them the tools, that's totally beautiful. And of course, I would think you'd be happy to do some different guest blogging and things like that as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yes. Oh, awesome. I'm guest blogging regularly on Brian Mercier's website right now. He's a Catholic speaker and apologist.
Awesome. Awesome. Guest blogging, writing, and really mm-hmm. helping people recognize that they are, little pearls and how to polish them off and go shine up mm-hmm. the world, right? Go reflect the sun. So that's so beautiful, Victoria. What else can I ask you that I haven't asked you already? Is there anything that you want to tell us about your story about this that I haven't asked you? I know that's the million-dollar question.
I mean, I think the one thing is that I very much related to St. Augustine when he said, to God, you were within me, but I was outside you seeking there for you. I think myself and a lot of other people, I was looking for something outside of myself to fulfill me, to make me happy. During college, I went and did mission work in Africa because I thought that would be the thing. That's where I would find God. That would be the thing that would be exciting enough and would give me this passionate life. And I didn't find God there. And, it was through prayer that I found God within myself and realized that he loves me enough to dwell within me. And I am a worthy vessel for him to live within me.
How be that, Victoria? Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you are doing, and I know that the Lord is going to grow your ministry exponentially because it is just what is so needed in our world today. Mm-hmm. Uplifting writing. Uplifting messages and one-on-one interaction, I think, is the key to spreading the gospel in today's mm-hmm. world and society. And you've got it. You've got the gift for it. So thank you so much for joining me today and talking with me and being here, because I think a lot of the listeners of this program are gonna really connect with you, really connect with your story. And I hope that they check out your blog and your writing. It's all found on onepearl316.com, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Any other contact information, emails, or anything you want to give out to listeners as well?
There's a contact form on my website. That's probably the easiest.
Okay, excellent.
Way to get in touch with the, I mean, I have, Facebook, Instagram, all that normal stuff.
Right, all that normal stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, so definitely talk or hit up the page right here where it says mm-hmm. hire me or just say hello on the contact form on onepearl316.com. Victoria, thank you so much. These interviews fly by. I wish they could be, an hour longer, but they just go right on by here. So thank you so much for mm-hmm. spending some time with me here today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I am Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.